We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. We start with a for sale ad from the Gloucestershire Echo, read by Charlotte Green.
Fridge, small, will fit under kitchen unit. Suitable for beer or students.
Thanks to L. Amor of Cheltenham for sending that. Now let us meet the teams. Please welcome first on my right, Linda Smith, an author, satirist and scriptwriter, John O'Farrell. And on my left, Alan Corran and columnist Oliver Pritchard. Linda, your first question. Who is now expecting a Spanish Inquisition?
Ah, this is easy. This is General Pinochet. And I know, Simon, you have explained that it is in fact pronounced Pinochet, but I just want to annoy him, really, by mispronouncing his name. It must be torture. Well, what's happened with General Pinochet is that he's just lost another round in his fight against extradition, which means unless this bout's arranged by Don King, extradition must be well ahead on points by now, I should think. Should win hands down. There's been quite a lot of moaning from the people of Wentworth, hasn't there, about they don't want him there. But I think they're being a bit dog in the manger about it, really, because it must brighten up the neighbourhood watch a bit. You know, like, oh, well, we've had a prowler at the golf course. There's a bit of dodgy street lighting we're worried about that might lead to break-ins. And, oh, there's a murderous dictator at number 33.
I can't get his uniform sorted properly. Before he came out to do this, I was watching him on the news tonight. And he wears this strange blue thing. It's the uniform of the South Down Coach Company. Very strange, that pale blue thing with frogging.
You remember that, don't you? God, that would be terrible for a party of pensioners to get on a coach and see him at the wheel.
Home Secretary Jack Straw has ruled that General Pinochet should be extradited to Spain. The former Chilean dictator is prepared to stay in England to appeal against the ruling, so long as he never has to have tea with Baroness Thatcher again. The case could take several years, so he's preparing to settle down for a long stay at his rented house in Wentworth. The house is unfurnished, though. Near neighbour Bruce Forsyth has an old rug, which is no use to him anymore. 2 points to Linda. John, welcome to the news quiz.
Thank you.
Which newly relaunched model comes complete with a baseball cap and a kitchen table?
Ah, this sounds like William Hague, who this week launched kitchen table conservatism. All the Tory MPs sat round and they realised they could fit all of them round a kitchen table. And that's the idea they had. He sort of went back to school to show his natural authority and promptly had his dinner money nicked by a load of fourth formers. Yes, poor William Hague. He hasn't got charisma so much as charisma.
Daily Mail says Hague can never succeed because of his lack of sex appeal. And it is true that when it comes to looks, he's no David Mellor. So 2 points to you, John. Oliver, whose equal rights were given a rough passage this week?
The House of Lords.
Yes.
Cruising for a bruising by opposing the lowering of the age of consent for chaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it.
chaps.
This is the House of Lords rejecting the amendment on the sexual offences bill. And the way the law stands, if an 18-year-old boy has sex with a 17-year-old boy, that's against the law. But if a middle-aged man has sex with a sixth former, then they make him chief inspector of schools. Apparently the bishops voted against the amendment because they said it was immoral, which got a big laugh from all the choir boys in the public gallery.
Yes, the House of Lords, led by Baroness Young, voted down the bill lowering the gay age of consent. One Conservative peer claimed that those opposed to the reform were being threatened by the gay mafia. A claim confirmed when he woke up next morning to find the complete works of Judy Garland in his bed. 2 points to Oliver. Alan, your first question.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you.
Alan, where will it be possible to get hold of free drugs all day and all night?
Yes. This is this wonderful thrusting 88th new initiative of the week from Dobson and Blair. There are going to be high street all-night surgeries, among other shops and supermarkets. So you can go in and say, I'd like a pound of liver, and would you fit it? And it's instead of doctors. You can go private and get an operating table near the window, of course. Red-checked operating clock. What a terrible government it is.
I like the idea of surgeries in supermarkets. It could be quite embarrassing, I think, standing there with someone going, Trace, anusol, price please.
If you do need the faster service, you don't need to go private, you just go through the 8 illnesses or less aisle. So at the end of round one, the scores are everybody 4 points. And we start round two with a cutting from The Independent.
Debonair, which flies from Luton to Paris Pontoise, claimed it took only 30 minutes by train to reach the centre and was a more pleasant experience than passing through Charles de Gaulle.
Thanks to William Christian of West Kirby. Linda, who wasted no time before making a sudden withdrawal from the bank?
Ah, yes, this is the head of Barclays Bank, a Mr. O'Neill, who got the job as the chief of Barclays Bank, turned up for work, first day, decided that his heartbeat had gone a bit jazzy, and left. But that was it. He arrived and that was the end of it. He did less than one day in his job. Can't have been much of a leaving do, really.
Yes, Barclays chief executive Michael O'Neill quit on day one of his new job because of worries about his heart condition. The bank says there are already countless people queuing up for the vacant position, and experienced Barclays customers know only too well. 2 points to Linda. John, whose career has stopped at a red light?
Whose career has stopped at a red light?
Is it stopped at a red light? So is it some sort of driving thing?
Is it quick fit?
This is that spawn of the devil, Mr. Derek Draper, who's lost his third job in a couple of months because he worked for Talk Radio. I don't know, and he had three listeners, but those three listeners heard him telephone James Whale in the middle of the night and say, I am reporting from a whorehouse in Amsterdam and Claudia is sitting on my lap. And he wasn't there and she wasn't doing that. And Talk Radio, desperate though it is, fired him. And he's now back on the streets like Claudia.
But if you were in a brothel in Amsterdam with Claudia, would you ring Talk Radio?
I did.
I might ring.
Listeners, I am doing the news quiz, and I'd like you to know that Oliver Pritchett, who is sitting on my lap, is over 16, and so am I.
Former Labour lobbyist Derek Draper has been sacked from Talk Radio after phoning a fellow disc jockey and claiming to be in a brothel in Amsterdam at the time. Draper was considered the laughingstock of the Labour Party in the good old days before John Prescott hosted Prime Minister's Question Time. Oliver, your piece of music. Oliver, which school for scandal got a bad report this week?
That sounded like Michael Jackson, was it? And where did he go to school?
No. It was a school or college around which a scandal revolved.
Oh, yes, the college and the principal and the vice-principal spent all year travelling around the world, staying at expensive hotels, from where they applied for even bigger grants to run this college. And I can't... I think it was a college of accounting. So.
It was Halton College of Further Education, which was severely criticised in a National Audit Office report after allegations of financial irregularities and claims that its principal and deputy, Martin Jenkins and Jenny Dolphin, spent almost a fifth of last year on inappropriate and unnecessary expensive overseas trips. It's been difficult to pinpoint where the college's gross overspending began, though it was perhaps unwise to ask the Queen Mother to be their patron. 2 points to Oliver. Alan, who was right royally given the finger?
Oh, yes. We're going very close to the bone. It'll be poor Princess Margaret's feet any minute. You've got boiled feet. It's a terrible thought, isn't it? That poor one hobbling from minibar to minibar on the... these dreadfully swollen trotters. It's very sad. It's William, who has just been... I just saw him on television before he came out, actually, just after Pinochet, with his arm in a sling, because he's the godfather to King Constantine's new sprog, or new grand sprog. And he had the entire arm. Made a bit of a fuss, I thought. It's all those royal doctors making money. Because he broke his finger.
Why would he need to have his arm in a sling if only his fingers hurt?
You don't want to think about it at all.
There was quite an emergency, I think, because they realised if they hadn't operated quickly, then it could have ruined his chances of ever doing heavy manual labour later in life. His hand would have been useless for anything but a little light waving.
And the scores at the end of round two are dramatically Linda and John with 6 points, but Alan and Oliver now in the lead with 10 points. We start round three with an item seen on teletext.
A team of shoplifters have stolen a total of 36 bras from the cooperative store in Channel Street, Gallows Shields. A Lothian and Borders police spokesman said, "We're looking for support in identifying those responsible."
Our thanks to A.S. Haswell of Ashkirk for that. Linda, who has found cold comfort in hot love?
Cold comfort in hot love.
It's a survey, I'll give you that hint. We get a lot of surveys on the
show. Oh, yes, survey. Gardening.
No.
That's what I thought.
W.I. The W.I.
No. Later, dear. I'm afraid to say Alan seems to have it.
Oh,
well, not often, but it's... if you have fairly regular sex, you don't get flu. I was drawn to it because in the Daily Mail, in order to illustrate this, they had a picture of Doris Day and Rock Hudson in bed. The idea that by getting into bed with Rock Hudson you wouldn't get flu rather struck me. So that's why this story, as it were, stuck in my head.
According to a survey from an American university, people who have regular sex don't get colds. According to another survey, one in four women prefer gardening to sex, especially if they're watching Alan Titchmarsh.
I thought about that survey, and I thought, why do one in four women prefer gardening to sex? And it's because they can move their own earth.
Go now gardening. I think it's this woman from Ground Force, isn't it, that's made gardening so sexy now.
Charlie Dimmock
with her free range breasts. I believe we've got their own series now. Compost with Charlie's chest.
Goes out to pull a weed.
You have to be very careful, Oliver, if you're pruning, to use safe sex.
Safe secateurs, that was
the
joke.
That's the one.
Nobody calls them sex, do they? You never heard people say...
But they do in gardening circles, but you're too busy having nookie. I'm just...
John, have a listen to this music.
Fine, dry, beer, lift your stein and drink your beer. Fine, fine, dry, beer, lift your stein and drink your beer. Drink, drink, drink. Two eyes that are bright as stars when they're shining on me. And drink, drink, drink. Two lips that are red and sweet as the fruit on the tree. Here's a
hot... That girl, Charlie Dimmock, what a voice. John, why will time cease to have any meaning as we enter the new millennium?
This is because they're going to open the pubs for 36 hours for the new millennium. It's because people will set off to the pub, and by the time the train gets there on the Jubilee Line extension, it'll be 36 hours later.
They're open for 36 hours. There's a fair chance of getting served at the end of it.
The new measures apply only to England and Wales. In Scotland, of course, people already drink for 36 straight hours to welcome the new year, or indeed the weekend. Oliver, what bitter pill may finally result in sexual equality?
I know what it is.
Oh, it's a male pill. A male antiseptic pill. Anti-conceptive pill. Contraceptive. And we can all go and garden after taking it quite safely without fear of finding anything behind the gooseberry bush.
OK, Alan, who stuck together until the pressure of constant media attention did them part?
I've forgotten their names, but then so have they. I mean, they had married names briefly. It's a couple of twerps. So BMRB, our sister station, or another station in Birmingham, advertised for a couple of people to tie the knot, or tie themselves in knots, and which they did. It's people who got married on the radio, and they are divorced by radio, because he was interfering with somebody else's transmissions.
No, I don't. You could do all those things on the radio. So you're allowed to officiate at weddings and divorces?
Yes, I am. As a quiz show host, you are allowed to conduct
marriages. It's like being a captain at sea.
In fact, I'll be doing three or four after the show.
But, yes, no, they said they only got married as a media stunt, which I think is a warning to Sophie and Prince Edward.
Got some royalists in tonight.
Radio warnings to all of us. I mean, yeah. I was walking down Portland Place 25 years ago, and they said, come in and do the news quiz. There's money in it. Every week for 25 years. I know who's making her dress. It's a woman called Samantha Shaw. It just shows how low everything has sunk, including me, that I know who's making Sophie Rees' dress.
Does she make your dresses, then?
No.
It makes a bit of a mockery of this new people's princess thing, isn't it? Diana had her frocks made by Versace, and Sophie has her frocks made by a woman Alan knows. Out of a dry cleaner's on Cricklewood High Street. Does the buffet as well, apparently.
3 months after their BRMB-sponsored blind date wedding, Brummy couple Greg Cordell and Carla Germain have announced they're to separate. The radio station has been very quick to act in this sad situation. It's repossessed the couple's flat and the motor car given them at their wedding, though they will be allowed to keep the 13 crew it sets. So, the scores at the end of round three are excitingly Linda and John with 10, but Alan and Oliver still in the lead with 16 points. And before we start the final round, here's a clipping from Classic Car Mart.
Ford Granada Hearse. 2.8 auto, 90,000 miles, superb engine and gearbox, body in good condition.
Thanks to Susan Parmenter of Burgess Hill for that. Linda, your musical clue. Being Boring by the Pet Shop Boys. Linda, who will now be discovering it's no fun being penniless and on the street?
Ah, yeah, this is a story about an actor, Ken Barlow, who plays a really dull character in Coronation Street called William Roach. Well, no, officially he isn't boring. That's a sort of... He was ruled not boring. But I don't know why I'm bothered, because he's not going to sue again because he's completely bankrupt now. And that's what it is, really. I sort of felt a bit vaguely sorry for him. Then I read his best friend was Neil Hamilton, and I thought...
That's right.
Perhaps he should be extradited on some bogus charge.
Not more than better. Bankrupt than be on the Sunday Times rich list. That's really boring.
Well, speak for yourself.
Yeah. I was quite annoyed about it, actually, Oliver.
I find it so intrusive, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. God, we're human beings as well. We've got our own life to live.
2 points. Bill Roach is expected to tell a meeting of his creditors in May that he has nothing of value to offer them but his talent as an actor. At which point, they expect to have him broken down and sold off for kindling. John, John, who said, "I can't believe it's not a miracle"?
This wouldn't be Jack Straw seeing a black policeman. No, I'm going to turn to my team captain here and see if she saw this story.
I can't believe it's not a miracle. Church.
Yes?
Good place for a miracle. Only very vaguely know what this story is, that someone went along to church, got healed. I mean, we don't know for sure if there's anything wrong with them in the start. They claim to have got healed. And the vicar thought, what a fantastic marketing ploy for his church. So he would advertise on the radio, "Come along to my church. Any little aches and pains you've got, cured. Marvellous."
That's exactly what I was going to say. Can we have 2 points?
No, it's only half the story.
Yes, it's because the Advertising Standards Authority said that this was a false claim, and so they condemned this. And it was followed up by the Weights and Measures Department, who said that story about a couple of fishes and a couple of loaves feeding all those
You're not allowed to say that, but you are allowed to say that bran flakes are tasty, tasty, very, very tasty.
That's right.
And you're also able to say, "I feel like chicken tonight."
The Advertising Standards Association upheld a complaint against a newspaper ad for the Pentecostal church, which claimed a sick man had been miraculously healed. The church insisted that the man in question had to be carried into the hall by 2 friends, as he was completely unable to walk. Though, this being Essex on a Sunday morning, I'll give 2 points to John for knowing the answer and 1 point to Oliver for getting the answer. Oliver, whose decision to look the other way wasn't very PC?
Is this Jack Straw's search for 8% black or Asian policeman?
No.
Oh. can't win them all.
PC, who didn't do his job as effectively.
Oh, that one. Yes, you know that one.
Nothing like that happened.
That's a copper who came here from some Commonwealth country and refused to arrest people because it was beneath his dignity. Because they hadn't nicked very much and they'd only taken smarties and broken windows and things, and he was waiting for a serial murderer.
Manchester Police Constable John Lee was found guilty on 2 charges of misconduct. After returning from service in Hong Kong, he said he couldn't be bothered investigating minor road accidents. He was looking for real crimes such as murder, drug dealing and our handover of the colony to China. Jack Straw's demand this week that within 2 years he wants to see 30% more black and Asian faces in Britain's police stations brought a lukewarm response from the chief constables, who pointed out that their cells are already full to breaking point. Alan, which institution claimed to be exposing itself as a charitable act?
It's Ryleston, I think, Women's Institute, and it was very funny. And they decided to do a nude calendar for charity. And looking closely at some of the pictures, I could tell that when they had them done, it was indeed as cold as charity. but there were these... I think it was a rather good joke, who said, "We've had enough of jam making and all that, we want to change the image and make a lot of money." And, of course, millions of tired, old, bald men have written in for these calendars, and there's a long waiting list, I understand. And they're wonderful pictures. I mean, they are strategically positioned, so you see very few of their naughty bits because there's jam making and all the rest of it. They're there. and they're all between 45 and 65, and goers, as I understand it. Very pleased about that. Of course, down at the Man's Institute, we're having a bit of a problem. I don't think we'll do a calendar this year.
It was all very tastefully done, though. It was, you know, they were doing very normal everyday things like cooking and sewing and eating a banana. That sort of thing.
Actually, all the pictures are kind of wonderful, really, because apart from the fact, a slight concern about people handling boiling jam in that condition, but they had these sort of cheeky little captions like, "Oh, this is Mrs. Winthrop. She'll whip your meringues into stiff peaks."
No, they didn't.
Oh, you know, do you, Alan? For sure.
It's £5.95 if anyone's interested. I'm sure the whole thing is an elaborate cover-up. The vicar's wife arrived home and caught in there with 12 naked women in the 50s, and he said, "Well, I'm doing this calendar, and..."
The Towns Women's Guild are going to follow up with a stripping group called the Full Marjorie.
Absolutely right. Miss May's assets are cunningly hidden by two roses and a sunflower. Fellow Institute officers were shocked to see one of their members involved in such a disgraceful example of flower arranging. The controversial calendar has resulted in the first ever police raid on a bring-and-buy sale. So, before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Linda.
I've got a cutting sent in by Mrs. A.G. Hallam Baker of Northumberland. It's from Trout and Salmon. It is. Old Hardy reels wanted urgently. I'm a generous buyer. One owner showed me his superb tackle and I gave him £4,217 for it.
John.
This is from DJ Pope in Longstanton from The Guardian, where else? Julie Morgan, Labour MP for Cardiff, says, I'd like to see local authorities providing a certain number of loos per head of population. She plans an early day motion to test support.
Oliver.
From The Independent on Sunday. A German couple out for a holiday drive near Berlin ended up in a river, apparently because the satellite navigation equipment in their BMW forgot to mention they had to wait for a ferry.
Alan.
I mean, sent an unsettling little gobbit from the Pretoria Chronicle, Simon. It says, corporate facilities are to be extended at Transvaal Cricket Club because now that more and more wives and girlfriends attend matches, members have complained that their boxes often become uncomfortably full.
Thank you all very much. Now let's look at the final score. Linda and John, 14, but Alan and Oliver, runaway winners this week with 21 points. And before we leave you, here's a picture caption seen in the Sheffield Trader by Mrs. W. Willis.
Councillors Andrew Milton and Chris Tosiano, with local children Kirsty and Rachel Elston, enjoy a slash in the revamped pool.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Linda Smith, John O'Farrell and Oliver Pritchett. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was John Rolfe.